Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We are continuing our theme today of books and archiving with a not-so-long read from our pals at Gothamist. Gothamist culture editor Ben Yakis joins me in studio with a story of a very special New York City gem that's closing its doors in Tribeca. It's not necessarily archiving books. It's actually archiving music. It's called the Archive of Contemporary Music. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
So where exactly is this archive?
So it's in Tribeca on White Street. It's in a nondescript-looking office building. And if you were just walking by it, you would see a bunch of broken records in the window. They have some examples of how not to keep records in the window for people who are going by.
So how long has it been there?
It's been there since 1985. It was founded by two men, this guy Bob George and his friend. And it has basically been this archive where they have millions of different kinds of physical recordings. CDs, records, cassettes, 8-tracks, along with all sorts of musical ephemera, memorabilia, signed records, Michael Jackson air fresheners, lots of weird things that have kind of existed very briefly in history.
So you mentioned the founder's name is Robert George. Mm-hmm. He's now 70, and he's just got one of those really interesting New York stories. How did he come to New York City, and what was he doing in the city before 1985 and starting the store?
Yeah, so he came to New York in the mid-70s. He got a scholarship from the Whitney Museum, and he was then hired to teach at a high school program in the Lower East Side, which is where he met the avant-garde artist Laurie Anderson. They were teaching together at that time, and they started collaborating. So he helped produce and co-direct her stage shows in the late 70s. At the same time, he was also working as a DJ, specifically around early hip-hop, punk, new wave, all that kind of stuff. He got the attention of the DJ John Peel, who is one of these legendary BBC guys. He was like, I really like what you're doing. Come over and do some DJing with me and make some playlists. So as he was doing this, he started getting sent records from everybody. And he accumulated, over the course of that decade, about 47,000 records.
What?
Yeah. I said to him, that's a lot. He's like, oh, that's nothing. You're doing a lot better than I am. And he had this moment where he was like, well, what do I do with all this? And he went to different institutions. He went to Columbia. He went to the Library of Congress. He went to the New York Public Library. And nobody wanted all this stuff. And he felt as though people were not really valuing them the way they do books, the way that we archive and keep track of them and first editions and all that kind of stuff. And that's where he came up with this idea of there should be somewhere that is keeping track and is housing them in a safe way.
And so he decided to just find a piece of real estate and move in all of his records?
Well, so the other piece of this puzzle is that he produced and then put out Laurie Anderson's single, Oh Superman, which was a huge hit. And I think that gave him enough money to sort of get started with this. And he also won some grants. And then from there on, he just had all these other collectors coming to him and offering him their record collections.
That's so interesting. So he's been on White Street. Can you, is like a library? Can you come on in and check it out? Can you buy things? Well, what do you do in there?
So if you're just walking on the street, you can't just go in. You have to call ahead of time and you can make an appointment, especially if you are researching. Music labels, different musicians go to them and ask them for help finding stuff, movies. They've talked to people like Martin Scorsese and Ang Lee and helped them do research for music in their films. The other thing they do is twice a year, they have these giant sales. They don't get rid of, you know, first editions necessarily, but they have way more records than they could ever keep track of. So they do big sales usually in the spring and fall.
My guest is Ben Yakis, Gothamist culture editor. We're talking about the Archive of Contemporary Music, which will no longer be on White Street. We'll get to that shortly. So let's take a listen to some of the kind of music that you might find there. So people are thinking, like, what are they talking about exactly? Mm-hmm. You have brought us a gospel record called Satan Will Jump on You for Nothing. Let's listen.
saving job don't need for nothing.
That's amazing. What do we know about this song?
So this is sort of one of the very fun things about the archive is how many random, obscure records you're going to find that you've never heard of before. The singers on that record are called Brother and Sister Dennis John Louis Jr. And I tried to look up some more information. There's very little info about them online. But one of the things that I love the most about the archive is they generally archive things by artist and by genre. So if you want to find the Beatles, you go to rock pop and you'll find John and Paul solo albums along with all the Beatles. But then there's a huge amount of albums that you've never heard of that are almost unclassifiable. And what they do is they take the ones that have a theme for the records, whether it be space helmets on the covers, or in this case, it was religious themed records. And so on the wall, they have like 50 of these album covers that all have these bizarre religious themes. So this was one I saw on the wall and I just immediately was like, what is this? And it's right next to another album called Jesus Signed My Pardon that has this amazing cover on it too. So this is, again, one of the really fun, unique things that they do over there.
There's an album called How to Belly Dance for Your Husband. Let's take a listen to that. This has got a certain I Dream a Genie vibe. What was special about this?
So this was by an artist named Little Egypt, and apparently there are dozens of people who go by that name.
Okay.
And who claim to be the original one. But it's sort of these novelty records that came out a lot in the 60s where they were like instructional. And they were telling you how to do things, even though, as you can hear, there's no words to it. It's just this sort of pleasant background music one is supposed to belly dance to. Now, the really fun thing about this record is it came, as the cover says, with the instructions on how to belly dance.
Oh, that's
inside.
Nice.
And I was actually able to track this down online, and it's very hilarious. And I can't even begin to read the whole thing because it's 3 pages long. But they use the example that to try to give you a visualization of what you should look like, you're supposed to get Jell-O and a vibrator, and not a modern vibrator, but like a scalp massager.
Okay.
Which, according to this, every man over 30 will have one.
Oh, all
so
right.
So don't worry about getting one yourself. And you heat this up on a plate, and it says here, you basically want your belly and your stomach to look like the way the Jell-O shakes. And it says, anything a plate of Jell-O can do, I can do better. And that's your mantra. That's what you should be saying to yourself.
I'll remember that. My guest is Ben Yakis, Gothamist culture editor. We're talking about the archive on the music archive on White Street, not to be on White Street much longer, but we'll get to that. All right, so this is an unexpected treasure you found. We're not going to tell, it's 7 minutes long. We're not playing 7 minutes, and we're not going to tell people who it is initially. Mm-hmm. So let's play this track called, a disco track called A Girl Like You. Okay, tell them who it is.
So that's John Travolta.
Let's listen to it again a little more, now that we know. That's where you hear it, in the chorus.
You can kind of hear it there when he does a girl. Yeah, before he was a famous actor, sort of concurrent when he was on Welcome Back, Cotter, he had this music career. He released 2 albums. And he had one hit single around 75, 76. Then came Saturday Night Fever. He blew up. Obviously, with Grease, he had some hit singles because he was singing with Olivia Newton-John. But this was, from what I could tell, his last solo single on his own from 79. And it never really was on an album except for some compilations. But this was his last sort of grasp at like a music career before he really went full, like, I'm a movie star.
The archives, it's not just music. We found this gem. You found this gem. He found this gem on wine, how to select and serve.
Do you want to be able to order wine in a restaurant and know what you're ordering?
And know the right wine to order?
And enjoy drinking it?
Do you want to be able to serve an appropriate wine before, during, or after one of those special occasion meals?
Like when the boss is coming to dinner?
Or would you like those spur-of-the-moment get-togethers with friends to have a little something extra that a good, well-chosen wine can give?
We wanted these things, but didn't know how to go about it.
Then I got the idea to call a wine shipper and ask for advice.
And that's how we were invited to spend an evening with Peter Seychelle, an expert on French and German wines. In a short time, he gave us a few simple facts that helped us to understand and appreciate wine.
And Peter Seychelle agreed to recreate that evening with us on this record to help you learn more about wine.
Oh, my gosh. I'm all in love with all of it.
Don't you kind of feel like they invented podcasting?
Like, a little bit.
I want to hear what's going on with this guy. I want to know his tips.
Oh, my goodness. So when you think about all the tracks we just played, how amazing and diverse they are, how is it that this isn't the store... This archive is not going to exist anymore. I'm very upset about this, Ben.
Well, it is thankfully still going to exist. What Yay. Has happened is that the rent has increased on this place. They moved in 20 years ago. When they moved in, it was $6,000 a month for the rent. Now it's up to over $20,000 a month, which is the story of so many parts of Manhattan, but in this area in Tribeca in particular. So what happened was they were informed and they fell behind. They were in debt from not paying for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And they have a good relationship with the landlord. He decided to let them out of the lease early so they could try to find a new place. And so for the last 2 months, he's been trying to find somewhere they could bring it. He wanted to stay in New York City. And it seems what he told me this week is that they've settled on two locations to put the archives. One is in upstate New York, somewhere around the Hyde Park area, which isn't too far. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is in LA. And what they're going to do is they're going to then have some temporary gallery spaces in New York City, in London, and in LA. And they're going to be able to put some of those album covers I mentioned, the thematic album covers that they have so lovingly put together at the archive. And they're going to be able to put it on display so other people can see it. And I think it's such a great idea to be able to show some of this off.
Well, maybe something good came out of something bad.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. The last days of the Archive of Contemporary Music. Ben Yakis of Gothamist. Ben, thank you for walking us through that not too long read.
Thank you.